Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. Today, a special teaching edition of Basic Gospel. Because it is a teaching edition, the phone lines will not be open, but we encourage you to stay tuned and listen to this special edition as Bob Christopher takes us through a very, very detailed study on the issue of spiritual gifts. We've been talking about it all month long, and we hope that we have cleared up some confusion for you, but if not, continue to listen. We hope to do that today. So, Bob Christopher, what about spiritual gifts?
Well, Bob, it's a very important subject, and when we read what the Word of God has to say, it is one of those inspirational subjects. It's one of those subjects that compels you to offer yourself to God to be used in His purpose and in His plan to bring His love and life to people all around the world. That's what spiritual gifts are for. But, you know, as we are as people, we always like to complicate things. We always like to take something that's directing us toward God and turn it on ourselves. And oftentimes when we think of the subject of spiritual gifts, the gift of tongues, the gift of healing are the two gifts that we really focus on. And so many people argue and fuss and fight over, one, whether those gifts exist today, and if they do, what are their real purposes? But we're going to take a broader view of spiritual gifts today. We're going to look at them as a whole, and we're going to look at who gives them. We're going to look at the purpose for which He gives them and how they're to be used on a day-to-day basis. So I think as we get into this, I think it will become clear why the Holy Spirit gifts us with various gifts. Richard, I know you have an interesting story as far as your upbringing and your background. You came out of a very legalistic denomination. You were law-driven. It was the law of God that compelled you to act and to do and to try to be the best person you could be. And you really didn't have an understanding of the Holy Spirit at all, did you?
No, not at all. I was probably the only person who ever kept the entire law until I didn't. That was fairly early on.
Keep going.
And to me... And I can't blame the denomination that I was raised in. A lot of this I put on myself. They started it. I accepted it. I never studied. How could I know? But I thought the Holy Spirit had really only one purpose. And that was, if you look in Revelation and in, also in 2 Thessalonians, the Holy Spirit's job was to hold back evil on the earth until it was just about time for Jesus to come. And then the Holy Spirit would say, I'm letting go, you're all on your own, and he'd go back to God. And the rest of us literally were on our own and would be expected in this time of trouble to keep the law perfectly and represent God to the entire universe. And if we failed, well, I don't know what that meant. It would be terrible. And I accepted that, you know. I worked hard, and I thought I should be a minister because that would help me get rid of the guilt that I felt for having failed so badly. And then I became a minister and discovered that the guilt only got worse. So I quit being a minister, but hung around church and hung around the Bible and studied. And I was teaching a class, and this guy walked into the class, had never been there before, and he started asking questions. And they were questions I couldn't answer. What the class didn't know is that I was about a word and a half ahead of them in the passages we were studying. And Charles would ask me these questions, and I couldn't answer them, and I'd hem and haw. And he'd say, well, that's okay. I mean, we'll just study. And my wife and I, Lois and I, said, we got to get to know this guy. Something's going on here. And so we went out to lunch with he and his wife, and we started talking. And he said, do you know anything about the Holy Spirit? And, you know, he said, you know, what you're talking about here is the same thing that was happening in Ephesus. I go, what do you mean in Ephesus? And he referred me to Acts 19. And Paul shows up in Ephesus, and he asks some, there was disciples there, and he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. That was really the answer I gave to his question. Do you know who the Holy Spirit is? I didn't know there was a Holy Spirit. And so he and his wife taught me and my wife about the Holy Spirit. And it was a revolutionary thing. I mean, I was petrified. You know, I was waiting for the tongues to happen at any moment, you know, and now what are we going to do? And they were loving, and they were caring, and they were as charismatic as anybody I've ever met. But they loved Jesus, and they taught us about the Holy Spirit, and they taught us about Jesus, and they took us to a church where the Holy Spirit was allowed to do what the Holy Spirit does, but in a well-managed way. And so my wife and I sat in that church for a couple of years, never did anything, never taught anything, never played in the band. We were just there to kind of soak up what it means to be led by the Spirit. And there were several things that occurred in our lives that demonstrated to us that, first of all, the Holy Spirit is alive and well. Secondly, that he'd been inside of us. We had been saved, and we didn't know it. We didn't know what that meant. And when those things became real and the Holy Spirit became real, it was surprising how much better we began to understand the Bible, because the Holy Spirit was now teaching us. We hadn't allowed him to teach us before because we didn't know he could, you know, and that was just part of the legalism. You got to get it on your own. And now that I know who the Holy Spirit is and that he lives inside of me and will never leave me, he's the Spirit of Christ, for crying out loud. He's never going to leave me or forsake me. That has just opened up the whole world of relationship with God and what it can be and what it is not. That might be more important for me in that case. But walking by faith, because the Holy Spirit is renewing my mind and teaching me what it means to be a child of God. It's an amazing thing. If you've never gotten there, give me a call. I'd love to talk to you.
Absolutely. And we do invite you to do that. You can write to us at bob@basicgospel.net if you would like to pose a question, and we will get it into Richard's hands, and he will respond to you. But one of the things that you learned as far as coming to grips with who the Holy Spirit is the fact that he gifts individuals with gifts.
Yes.
And that's the subject of those chapters in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14, Paul addresses this subject of spiritual gifts. He also talks about it in Romans chapter 12. Peter talks about it in his first letter. But really, the primary passage is there in 1 Corinthians. And the reason he addresses it there is because spiritual gifts were so abused,
yes,
by the Corinthians. They brought their pagan practices into the Christian assembly, and they were making a mockery of what God's Spirit was really supposed to be doing,
yes,
there, and the gifts that he was giving. And the two that they focused on were tongues and healing, and then also prophecy.
Yes.
Paul really focused on that. So I want to look at some of those passages today and try to come to grips with what Paul is really telling us. First, these are gifts of the Spirit. They're gifts of grace. The word for gift comes from the word grace. So these are gifts of grace to the body of Christ. And it says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And he gives those gifts as he sees fit, just as he determines. That's what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. So who is the source of gifts? The Holy Spirit. How does he distribute them? As he determines. So it's his choice, not ours. I know so often we kind of pray to God, Lord, please give me this gift, or please give me that gift. I remember I was in a singles group years ago, and it was at a Bible church, and teaching was front and center. Everything revolved around the teaching ministry. Well, one evening in the singles class, the leader of the singles group said, we're going to talk about spiritual gifts, and we're going to take a spiritual gifts test. And so you answered questions, and based on your answers, you know, you added up different numbers, and you could determine what your spiritual gift was. Well, about 80% of the people that filled those out were teachers, said they had the gift of teaching. Why? Because that's what was emphasized at that particular church, and that's what everybody desired. I want to be like that guy. I want to be involved in a ministry like his. Well, what did his look like? It was all about teaching. So we wanted, all of us wanted to be teachers. So when we took the test, we all had that spiritual gift. Well, that's not how it works.
Not at all.
God gifts us. The Holy Spirit gifts us as he determines, as he sees fit, as he sees as far as what's going to be good for the overall body. Now, if you have a church and there's nothing there but the gift of teaching, you're not going to grow to the full measure of Christ. You're going to miss something there. You're going to miss what it's like to be encouraged and to give encouragement. You're going to miss what it's like to really find joy in giving. Believe it or not, the gift of giving is a spiritual gift. There's other things that you're going to miss out on. So God gives those gifts. He gives all of those gifts to individuals. Not an individual will get every gift, but an individual will get a gift that will be used complementary to another person who has a different gift. Mm-hmm. And you'll see more of the fullness of Christ as those are exercised.
And there's nothing that suggests that if you've ever been given a particular gift, that gift is now yours for time and eternity. Again, the Spirit determines what is needed at the time and who's available and how that person can be used by the Spirit to accomplish the Spirit's work.
There's a different type of gift that I'd like to talk about right now for just a moment, and that is a gift to the ministry to help continue the proclamation of this truth that you hear each day on Basic Gospel. And I will, before I go any further, say that this is a recorded edition, a teaching edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and for those of you who have questions, we hope that you'll hold on to them until Monday, and we'll be back with a live edition. But, man, this is a good study, and I hope you're paying close attention. As you know, probably, that the primary topic this month on Basic Gospel has been spiritual gifts, and certainly today that is true. And to help clear the fog and confusion over the issue, Bob Christopher has produced a CD called About Spiritual Gifts, and it's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. We encourage you to pick up if you'd like a more in-depth study of this particular topic that's caused a lot of confusion since the day of Pentecost. Why, we encourage you to get this CD, and you can do that, as I said, by a gift of any amount to the ministry. And simply go to basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link on the homepage, or you can call and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. Perhaps Monday will be a better time to call that number, but you can leave a message over the weekend if you'd like to call, and we'll get back to you. 1-800-727-2828. But also, of course, basicgospel.net is always there to serve you. Hope you'll take advantage of it. Hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity to pick up this CD by Bob Christopher about spiritual gifts, about what we're talking today.
Yes, indeed. Well, so let's review just briefly before we move on. First, there are spiritual gifts.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is the source of those gifts, and he gives them to individuals as he determines. So it's his choice. It's part of his work to equip the body of Christ for their function in the world today. Now, he says this, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. So there are different kinds of gifts, but they all come from the same Spirit. And those gifts are to enable us to carry out our role within the body of Christ. That's what it says. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. We're all responding to Jesus Christ, who is the head. He is the Lord of us all. And then there are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. So there is a purpose of God. So we kind of funnel into the purpose of God. Spiritual gifts equip us to carry out our role within the body of Christ so that we, as a body of believers, can carry out our mission in the world at large. So I've said it like this. We are to use our gifts. So whatever God has gifted you with, whether it's teaching, whether it's prophesying, whether it's the gift of tongues, whether it's the gift of giving, whether it's the gift of administration, the gift of service, the gift of giving, whatever God has equipped you with as the Holy Spirit has determined, use that gift to serve the body. That's the key. Use the gift to serve the body. That's why spirit. That's why tongues is such a fiery topic. That's why it's so explosive. Why? Because most people look at that as a gift for self-edification. That's exactly what Paul said in chapter 14. The gift of tongues, you edify yourself. Well, that's not what love is all about. Gifts are to be used in the context of the love of God. That means for others, to serve the body. So we are to use our gifts to serve the body so that the body can carry out the works of God in the world at large. God called us to be a part of his plan to reach the world. That's where so many churches and assemblies miss it. They turn everything inward. It's all about them. They very rarely think about folks outside the confines of those walls in which they meet. But that's not God. God moved in the hearts of those disciples. As a matter of fact, when Jesus said to the disciples, "I want you to wait there in Jerusalem for the gift my Father has promised," then he said, "You know, John baptized with water, but in a few days you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And then he goes on to say, "And when that happens, you will receive power, and when the Spirit comes upon you, so that you can be my witnesses." And he carries that out to the uttermost ends of the world. He never meant for those disciples to stay in Jerusalem and to build their own little thing right there. And he eventually had to scatter them so that that message could be carried out to the uttermost parts of the world. So we're involved in something that's much bigger than ourselves, much bigger than the small groups that we engage with, much bigger than the churches that we attend. We're a part of God's overall plan and purpose to reach the world for Jesus, to be a part of his rescue plan. Well, how does he equip us to do that? Through spiritual gifts, so that we can serve the body, so that the body can be built up to carry out its overall function. To me, that's just so exciting to think that just little old me, just little old Bob Christopher, who was born in Marietta, Georgia, went to school at the University of Georgia, found his way out to Dallas, Texas, came to know Jesus, that God can use little old me in such a powerful and wonderful way. The same is true for each and every person who's come to know Christ. You're saved for a purpose. You know, as Paul wrote in Ephesians, it's by grace that we've been saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. And then he goes on to say, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to live in good works, of which he's prepared beforehand."
Yeah.
So that's an amazing purpose, and spiritual gifts funnel into that, funnel into what God has for us. So within the body, here's another thing that was happening in Corinth, is the folks with the gift of tongues. We're looking at the folks with the gift of teaching and saying, our gift is more important than your gift. And so if you really want to be spiritual, then you need to have the gift of tongues. And then the folks who had the gift of teaching were saying, no. It's all about teaching. We're the most important people. And then the folks with the gift of encouragement were saying, no. We're the most important. So they were just drawing these lines of division. They were separating over what spiritual gift each person had. Well, they missed the point, and that's what Paul was saying. We're a body, we're a unit, and though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. A body can't be divided. If it is, It's not going to stand. It can't survive with the vision. So we have to recognize, first, that the Holy Spirit is the source of these gifts. He gives them as he determines. He does so that we can use these gifts to serve the body. And in serving the body, we're going to build the body up so that the body can carry out its mission at large in the world today. That happens as a body. Who's the head of that body? Jesus Christ. He's not interested in a divided body. He's interested in all of us submitting ourselves to him and allowing him to orchestrate how we function in this world. So the fact of the matter is we need each other, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
We need all the gifts. We need all the members together so that we can carry out what God has for us.
Yeah, one of the great tragedies in the church today is that on one side you've got people who demand spiritual gifts, and on the other side you've got people who say, absolutely not, never going to happen here, and both sides are wrong. Christ needs the entire body. We need, like you said, submit to him, let him initiate, let us respond, and watch what he does.
Yeah, and it's amazing what he does.
Yeah.
I think that's why he said to his disciples, you know, you'll be able to do bigger things than I.
Yes.
Well, it's the body. I mean, it's Christ doing the work, but he's doing it through this body of believers, those of us who have come to know him personally, who have been made alive together with Christ, who have been indwelt by his Spirit, who have been put together in such a way that we now form the dwelling place of God here on earth. It's just absolutely astounding, this plan that God has put together.
It's not good strategy if you're looking at it humanly.
No.
But
no.
God said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to bring it about. And that's exactly what he's doing.
And he has.
Yes.
He has in such an incredible way. So we need each other. And the reason we need each other is because what we're a part of is much bigger than ourselves. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. It's a corporate thing. We're individually saved, then we're added to the body of Christ. So we belong to Christ. We belong to one another. So this church thing is something that's so much bigger than us. And that's why he's gifted the body of Christ in the way that he has, so that it can be most effective in the world today. Now, I would be remiss in speaking about spiritual gifts if I didn't read this particular passage, but eagerly desire the greater gifts, and now I will show you the most excellent way. And this funnels right into the definition of love. We may have the gift of tongues, but if we're not abiding in the love of Christ, if we're not relying upon the love of Christ and allowing his love to flow through us, that gift is meaningless. We may have the gift of teaching, the gift of giving, but if we're not doing it motivated by the love of God, compelled by the love of God, we've missed the point.
Yes.
God's language is the language of love. It's the language of love spoken in words of patience and kindness and hope and perseverance and encouragement. That's the language. And that's what these gifts enable us to do, to speak the language of love out in this world of darkness. That's what people need to hear. That's what people are longing for, the love of Christ Jesus. And spiritual gifts enable us to speak that language of love in such a way to draw men and women unto Christ. Incredible how these gifts can be used, and if we'll see it in that way, man, it'll just revolutionize our thinking and our whole attitude toward this confusing subject.
Yeah, very confusing subject, and as I said earlier, we have been dealing with that all month long, and particularly on today's special edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and me, Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. Again, Bob has produced a very special CD to help clear the fog about spiritual gifts. It's called About Spiritual Gifts, and you can get your copy for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Simply go online to basicgospel.net, and you'll find a prominent link right there. Well, that's it. Hope you have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you back live on Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel.